was so inconvenient. And it was about maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. And Anne is my wife, and she was in pain. But I'm leaning against her. I'm massaging her back, and I put my head against her back, and I say, "Anne, I'm not ready for this." I had no sympathy. But yeah, giving birth. And when the child comes, they're normally quite special, intimate occasions. There's a rule, isn't there, about the people you text first, when Facebook post goes up, all those kinds of things. And it's normally the close family and friends get the first notice, and then you roll out from there until it can be public. Well, for Mary and Joseph, it's not like that. On the very night of the birth of Jesus, some utter strangers rock up. You might remember them. They're the shepherds that were in a field, and they have angels, and they come down and they rock up. Well, now, sometime later, here are strange men coming to visit from the east. This is a public event for Mary and Joseph. Look, that would be strange for us if suddenly a mechanic rocked up that we'd never seen, rocked up into the room and said, "Hi, I heard you've had a child." It would be strange for us if, Jay Weatherall came and visited. That would be strange to see our new child. But not so strange for George, Charlotte, and a little baby due in April next year. Who are those people? They're the children of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Prince William and Kate. It wouldn't be strange for public people to come and be interested in these royal births. Would it help you if I just went, sound guy, Ben? Would it help us if I got rid of this? All right, it's clicking, isn't it? Let's try that one. We'll see how we go. Well, Matthew writes this story to tell us that this birth is no ordinary birth. He's born to ordinary parents, but he's not an ordinary baby. We find out very quickly in this chapter of Matthew that they have, these kings, or these magi, have come to see who has been born king of the Jews. And the heavens have declared that there is a king to be born somewhere over there in the west. And so these astrologers follow this rising star to find this newborn king. And it's a surprise to us that that would be the case. These magi, if you don't know who they are, we've given them names and everything nowadays. But they were astrologers, kind of, you know, magi, similar to magicians. They were Persian astrologers. And they were responding to something they saw in the sky. They saw a star in the east. We saw it in verse 2 of this chapter. And we don't know what that star was. Maybe it was Halley's Comet, which is 11 BC, or the alignment of Saturn and Jupiter in 7 BC. We don't know what it is, but something caught their attention. And these searchers and these thinkers thought, we are going to see what has put that star there, what has put that bright light in the sky. So they followed the star to Jerusalem, and they came into Jerusalem with probably an entourage of camels and people to support them on this long trip. And they assumed that if you're going to find a newborn king, you'd find it in the capital city, in the king's house, in the palace. And so that's these people. Now, are you surprised, like I'm surprised, that God would do this? Because let me ask this. For those of you who are Christians, what do you think of horoscopes? What do you think of horoscopes? Yeah, it's all about stars and finding out your future by horoscopes. And most people who would read this book would probably say, horoscopes, yeah, they're not so good. They'd have a negative opinion of astrologers. And whenever you see astrologers mentioned in the Bible, generally they're on the kind of the wrong side. So in Daniel's book, there's a magi, the astrologers, and they're against God's people, Daniel specifically. But even if you think it's a grey area, most Christians and Jews keep away from that stuff. So don't you think it's surprising that God would use astrologers, magi, to follow a star and come to a place called Jerusalem and tell his people, look, here is one born king of the Jews. Don't you think that's surprising that even the most pagan people God can use? And if they're given the opportunity, these pagan people will respond to God. And I find it surprising that God chose to put a star in the sky. You know, a few years ago, there's a man in this church, and I spoke to him about how he became a follower of Jesus. He was connected, I think, to Monica Kennelly from memory. Anyway, we were talking one day in the coffee session, and he said, oh, it was like this. I was really into transcendental meditation, massively. And I was very good at it. I don't know much about TM, but anyway, he's very good at it. And he said, I was able to put everything out. And then suddenly somebody walked into my mind. And I said to that person, who are you? You're not meant to be here. I didn't make you. And the person said to him, so this person had nothing to do with church and Jesus stuff. This person says, I'm Jesus. And you need to go to church. That's how he came to this church. That's how he became a follower of Jesus. Is God spoke to him through transcendental meditation. And for me, I go, I'm not a big fan of TM. Why would you do that, God? Why would you use these strange things to communicate yourself? Well, for this special event in history, God chose to reveal himself in a place where pagan people were looking, in the sky. A long time ago, Augustine preached a sermon on this very text in 412 AD. And he said this, he said that these wise men help us recall that our world is not empty of God's presence. God leaves hints and signs, a trail to be discovered by those who seek to pursue the holy in the midst of life. The hint or sign for the Magi, said Augustine, was a star. You know, our experience of God is not easy to discern. Most of us navigate this kind of spiritual life with nudges and whispers. We don't get people walking into our meditations and saying, I'm Jesus. But this story does remind us that if people are seeking, however they're seeking, God will help them find him. These Magi were seeking wisdom in the heavens, and so that's where God wrote his truth. If you're looking for it, I'm going to put a star there so you can find it. So these astrologers follow that star, and they get direction enough to get to Jerusalem. And what they do is they ask around, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? And the current king, his name's Herod. We might call him Herod the Horrible because he's a nasty piece of work. He is distressed by this question. He's not a proper king he's not a Jew by birth, but he liked to say that he was the king of the Jews. So when he hears that somebody else has got a king of the Jews out there somewhere, he's not happy about it. And he correctly interprets that this king that the Magi are looking for are what the Jews call the Messiah, their rescuer, Israel's rightful king. And when their people look through the book, more importantly the Bible, in Micah, they discover that this Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. You know, Herod had cause to be worried. I don't know if you know your history very well, but Alexander the Great had a cosmic sign that said he would die early. A well-known account to people like Herod. Herod had cause to be worried that there'd be a star in the sky, there's a king born. He should be worried that he's in trouble. So Herod calls his religious experts together and they identify the birthplace of this king, the Messiah, and they say it's Bethlehem. And we as readers, we're left in no doubt that these people coming from the east are going to find the king of the Jews, Jesus. We're left in no doubt that this is what Jesus is. These experts know the scriptures. They know what it means. They've read it well. They know that the promise will be fulfilled and that the Messiah is the answer to the Magi's quest. Here's the interesting thing. They know all that. But they don't do anything about it, do they? These are the religious people. These are the ones who are close to God, close to the book, yet they are really far away from God. And what's clear here is that you can be close, but really far away. You can have this Bible in your hand, yet miss the point. It's really clear. Are you finding this a surprising story? That here are some people who we're a little suspicious about, called astrologers, who are closer to finding God and truth. And then here are some people over here who've got the book in their hand, who ought to know better, and yet they're missing the point. There's been a few surprises in this. It reminds me that God's work's much greater than we can imagine. I mean, is this like the God that you know? He brings philosophers, magicians from Persia to worship his baby boy in the backwater of Israel. He uses that to shake up the political and religious powers for good. Is that like the God you know? The God that can do the unexpected and the impossible, who works outside of your box. He can use things that you don't think he should use. Well, it's the God that's in this chapter. It's the God that works this way. You know what? I don't find this so surprising that God works in ways that I don't expect. You know what I find very surprising here? Is I'm astounded by the faith of the Magi. That's what I'm surprised by. That on the basis of a star, they set off to find and to worship a newborn king. That's how much they needed. A star appears in the sky. And God might have spoken to them. We don't know. What we do know is later on he does speak to them. But all we know is there's a star in the sky and they're good to go. That's an amazing faith. That is an amazing faith. And Matthew forces us, the guy who writes this account, forces us to admire and identify with pagan magi rather than those who should have known better. I want to tell you now that even the most pagan people, the most disinterested people, may respond to Jesus if they're given the opportunity. And that shouldn't surprise us, really, because that's what seekers are like. When you're seeking something, seriously wanting to find truth, you're going to do what you can to find it. You know, right next door to Mary and Joseph and this little baby Jesus growing up were neighbours. And they probably thought that squawking toddler is just a squawking toddler. But the Magi, who across the world, on the other side of the landmass, who are searching for truth and purpose and reality, they recognise that this baby is central to the future of the world. It's worth writing something in the sky over. And so what are months, maybe years, what is the expense worth? Let's get going and go find this child. That's what truth seekers are like, is when they know that they need to find it, they will do whatever they can to discover it. Jesus told a little story about a merchant who spent his life, he was dealing in fine pearls. He knew his pearls and he made lots of money from it. But one day he came across the most amazing pearl he'd ever seen in his life. So every other pearl he's got in his collection, they were ordinary compared to this pearl. So what does he do? He sells everything he owns in order to buy that pearl. What's the point of having a reasonable pearl collection when I could have the most valuable one ever? It's a great way of describing what people are like when they discover something worth giving up everything for. These Magi were looking for the precious pearl of this truth. And when they felt they'd found it, they worshipped. So this is the heart. This is part of the heart of Christmas, that the Magi only see a little bit of it. They don't see the full reality of who Jesus is. This toddler, as unbelievable as it seems, was actually God made known to us in Jesus. As the video says, helps other truth seekers navigate why we're here. Does anybody care? Am I okay? This Jesus was sent from heaven to tell us how much God cares for us. Sent to free us from our shame, our sin, and eventually will right the world. For those in the room, some of you already know how amazing that truth is. You know, the next time Jesus is called King of the Jews in this book, it's when he's nailed to a cross and it's written above his head. The Magi never knew that that would be the story of this little child born King of the Jews. The story would lead to suffering death in the place of us. They never knew it. They had the gifts of gold, of kingship, frankincense and myrrh. They suspected something was dark in his life, but they never knew that it would be for your sake, for my sake. Now, Christmas time is a time of celebration. I love carols. I love presents. I like eating Christmas dinner. I must admit, I probably like Boxing Day more, but it's pretty strong Christmas. But as Carl Faye said in his video, here we are, planning a perfect Christmas. To miss Jesus is not an oversight, it's a terrible loss. There are many people who are going to celebrate Christmas this year. They're going to celebrate a baby was born 2,000 years ago. They're going to think nice thoughts to other people. They might even pray for peace on earth. That'll be a good Christmas for them. But there are some, many of us here, in fact, who are truth seekers. We're going to be like the Magi, who will give up all of our prejudices and our pride, and we want to discover Jesus. There are some of us here who would want to travel across the world to honor him. You don't have to do that, though. You don't even have to bring any expensive gifts, people. You don't have to do the things that these Magi did. But what I do want us to know is that you do have to have the attitude of these wise men. That's the attitude of all true worshippers, is that we want to know what is true. We want to find the precious pearl that God has offered to us in Jesus. And when you do this, whether you think you are close to God or whether you think you are far away from God, you'll never know how God's going to show up in your celebration of Christmas this year. But I think this, that if you seek him, he will find you. Let me pray. Our God, to be honest, to be really honest, most of us spend most of our lives avoiding answering the question of what am I here for? Am I okay? Does anyone care, really care? Most of us can't answer the question well of what is our purpose and meaning. Most of us don't know where we really belong. And the honest truth is, we don't seek it. But what I want to pray is if there are people in this room who want to know that their life matters, that there is meaning and purpose, that fundamentally they are not alone in the universe and they're not alone right now, and there are people in this room who want to know, for all of their hurt and all of their history and all of their memories and shame and even sin, that they're okay. I pray for those truth seekers, that they will discover in Jesus the answer to the questions. The they'll discover that, that they can come and find they have a home, they have purpose, they are forgiven, they have a future, they belong. This Christmas, I pray for that great gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.